a diversified programming alternative for the Hammer. This is CIOI-FM.
CIOI-FM.
Hamilton's 101.5 The Hawk.
From the National Newsroom of the Canadian Press, I'm Roger Ward. It wasn't a full-fledged hurricane when it made landfall in Nova Scotia, but hurricane-force winds from post-tropical storm Dorian caused extensive damage to the electrical grids in the Maritimes. At one point, about 500,000 homes and businesses in Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and PEI were left in the dark. Later today, the number had dropped considerably, but the full extent of the damage is unknown. Halifax fire official Erica Fleck says people driving around after the storm are not being helpful.
All the people that are lined up right now on the roads waiting for coffee and in different spots, they are actually impeding our crews from getting out there. So I can't stress enough that people need to stay off the roads today. Let us get out there and do our jobs. Again, we can't clear the roads and open them until we can actually get to the roads.
The city took the brunt of the damage. Mass evacuations from parts of the Bahamas ripped apart when Hurricane Dorian struck are now taking place. The U.S. Coast Guard posted footage online of the Bahamas Paradise Cruise Line arriving in the port of Palm Beach in Florida, with more than 1,400 evacuees from Abaco, Bahamas, and Grand Bahama Islands, which includes hundreds of people from other countries. The official death toll now stands at 44 people. Canadian health authorities are following a growing number of cases of lung ailments and even some deaths in the United States linked to vaping. There have been at least 450 possible cases, including 5 deaths. There have been no reports of the same sickness in Canada, but Health Canada issued a warning recently urging people who vape to watch for symptoms such as coughing and shortness of breath or chest pain. A former Parti Québécois minister is now running for the Liberals in the upcoming October election. Réjean Hébert is nominated in the Longueuil-Saint-Hubert riding by acclamation. He was health minister under Pauline Marois from 2012 to 2014. Another Republican says he will run against U.S. President Donald Trump in 2020, but he has some baggage. Mark Sanford is an ex-South Carolina governor and congressman who was caught cheating on his wife. Trump now faces 3 GOP challengers. A man is under arrest after a bizarre attack on the charging bull sculpture outside the New York Stock Exchange. Police say a man bashed the statue with a metal object that looked like a banjo. Visitor Stephanie Olson says it's a weird time.
I think it's kind of a sign of the times, actually. People are frustrated and, you know, they're taking it out in strange and unusual ways, apparently.
Tavon Varlock of Texas is facing several charges. This is the Canadian Press. In sports, play is underway in New York City as Rafael Nadal takes on Daniil Medvedev in the men's singles final at the U.S. Open. Nadal can win his 19th Grand Slam championship to move within one of Roger Federer's record for men by winning today. Bianca Andreescu of Mississauga, Ontario, took her U.S. Open trophy to the top of the Rockefeller Plaza in New York City this afternoon, a day after beating Serena Williams in straight sets. Tyler Glasnow struck out 5 over 2 innings in his return from a 4-month layoff caused by a strained right forearm, and the Tampa Bay Rays beat Toronto Blue Jays 8-3 to complete a 4-game sweep. Brittany Donaldson will become the 10th female assistant coach in the NBA when she joins head coach Nick Nurse on the Toronto Raptors bench this season. Donaldson was working as the Raptors data analyst before this move. From the Canadian Press, I'm Roger Ward.
Here's your weather report on 101.5 The Hawk. Currently outside at 17 degrees Celsius. Mix of sun and cloud. Barometric pressure is rising at 102.1 kilopascals. Humidity's at 71% with the wind coming from the east-northeast at 13 kilometers per hour. Visibility's at 24. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 9 and be mostly cloudy. Your 7-day forecast from Environment Canada. Monday, a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 20 and a low of 9. Tuesday, rain in the forecast with a high of 25. 25 and a low of 21. Wednesday, a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 26 and a low of 16. Thursday, more rain in the forecast with a high of 19 and a low of 15. Friday, more rain again with a high of 21 and a low of 17. And Saturday, a high of 22, again with rain in the forecast. Tonight, mainly cloudy, a low of 9. Monday, clearing in the morning, a high of 20. UV index 7 or a high. And Monday night, a few clouds with a low of 9. That's your weather forecast here on 101.5 The Hawk.
In Hamilton, we're CIOI-FM. 101.5 The Hawk. The Hawk. The Hawk. The Hawk.
From far beyond the galaxies, I've journeyed to this place to study the behavior patterns of the human race. And I find them highly illogical. Girl meets boy. They fall in love. She says he's everything she's dreamed of. But when they get married, before he's aware, she changes his habits, the way he combs his hair. She changes him to someone he's never been, and then complains he's not like other men. Now really, I find this most illogical. Take the case of your automobiles. Greatest invention since man discovered wheels. Hydromatic overdrive, floor on the floor. Push-button windows, push-button doors. Double-barrel carburetors rush you any place, but you never can find a parking space. Highly illogical. Take the case of modern man. He works all his life, gives it all he can, saves all his money, works overtime, pinches every penny, banks every dime. All he can think about is money, but you know that he can't take it with him where he's going to go. Now I find that fascinatingly illogical. Now is the time to journey home to tell of what I've learned. My people, I believe, have every right to be concerned. For in spite of computers and advanced psychology, behavior patterns are still a mystery. I predict the future of this earthly human race is that having made a mess of Earth, they'll move to outer space. Well, there goes the neighborhood. Totally, completely, absolutely, irrevocably, highly illogical.
Calling for a check on the quality of this transmission.
This.
And standing by.
Is 101.5 The Hawk.
You're listening to Center Stage, a celebration of musicals from both the stage and screen. I'm your host, Lila Miklosh, here on 101.5 FM, The Hawk. Well, we've got a jam-packed show filled with interviews, music, reviews, and more. But first of all, I do have to mention that today is Star Trek Day! On this day in 1966, the very first episode of Star Trek aired on television screens. And we're going to be listening to songs from both Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner throughout the hour, also in celebration of a special event that Beth Jacob Synagogue is having on Saturday, September 21st. They're going to view an episode of Classic Trek, The Enemy Within, where Captain Kirk is split into both an evil and a good version of himself. And then we're going to have a theological discussion about that episode from a Jewish cultural lens. And I have been invited to be part of that discussion. No, I'm not Jewish, but I am a big stinking Star Trek fan, so I got to be a part of the panel discussion. So come talk Star Trek and Jewish faith all at once at Beth Jacob Synagogue on September 21st. But for the hour, we are going to celebrate all things Trek with the music. Just before the Labor Day weekend, I went and into our production studio here and came in early and did an interview with someone from Nepal. His name is Saroj Aral, and he is a professional Nepali theater actor, director, and an accomplished radio program producer. We happened to connect with each other over social media because I put up a post during World Theater Day, and we have been trying to connect and make this interview happen, but there's an 8-hour time difference between here and Nepal, so doing a live interview is going to be a little tough since it's going to be like 3 in the morning where he is. So we had a great discussion. A little bit more about Saroj. He was the artistic director of Akai Art Group, and through Akai, he performed and directed various stage and street plays. In addition to that, he worked as a freelance radio drama script writer and producer on South Asian First Community Radio, 102.4 FM. In 2000, he started First Children Theater Company, also known as Pumpkin Theater. He was the former founder, treasurer of ITI, International Theater Institute, Nepal branch, and now he is the creative director of Mala Arts Academy and MN Desire, Inc. He was a jury member for the Nepal International Theater Festival, and beside that, he is also working with the Story Kitchen as a senior drama mentor. And Story Kitchen's two current projects, Sharing and Amplifying Her Allegorical Stories for Justice and Voices for Justice, use storytelling to encourage survivors of gender-based violence during the decade-long armed conflict between the Nepalese government and the CPN Maoists to feel safe enough to break their silence, come together to heal and seek transitional justice. So he's a pretty amazing person. Our interview is broken up into two segments only because while we were recording this interview, we did get cut off partway. So we're going to listen to the first part of that interview now. So enjoy my conversation with Saroj, which is going to take up most of the show this hour, but we are also going to have the best of the Shaw Fest and more songs from William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy in celebration of Star Trek Day. You're listening to Center Stage on 101.5 The Hawk. My name's Lila McLoach, and you are listening to Center Stage, a celebration of musicals from both the stage and screen. One of the exciting things about doing the show is connecting with people from all over the world. And right now, I have the privilege of speaking live from Nepal with Saroj, who is a theater artist. And I'd like him to talk to us about some of the things he's doing in his home country, especially with children.
Yes, we are doing different kind of works and different with the different kinds of children. Basically, I'm the first, and my company is the first to establish the children theater in Nepal. And still, it's confusing about the children theaters. What is the children theaters? Because we don't have, unfortunately, we don't have any theater school or theater college. So we, those who are working in a theater from the beginning, they are self-taught theater artists are from government organization. They are starting their training like for 1 year, for 3 months or 6 months. And from there, those who are coming from that institutions, they are self-taught and they develop themselves. So I'm the one who got the training from that government institution for 1 year long in 1995 to 1996. 2000, I started in theaters. At the same time, I'm also working on the radio, and that radio was the first South Asian community theaters, community radio. So I'm working with the street children, I'm working with the community children, I'm working with the, I don't like to say that work, but the disabled children, extra village children we call now, right now. And we went to their houses and we teach them how many days they want, and we hear from their story and they themselves perform the drama.
What do you find most rewarding with working with children when you're sharing your gifts as a theater artist, and what do you see the children showing to you?
Different kinds of children have a different kind of issue. I was also a teacher from the different schools. And from that point of view, the school children has a different comes from their point. And the elite schools has, the school student has their own problems, and the community people have their own problems. But basically, the problems is what I found is in Kathmandu Valley, the city people has the main is communications. It's a very lack communication between the parents and children with the teachers. The student cannot speak in front of the teachers.
Hmm.
And teachers are not, I'm very sorry to say that, and teachers are not that much friendly to know their students' psychology and treat them like warriors' problem. I have a very good experience with the very good experience with the those schools who paid a lot of money, or other schools, the parents paid a lot of money for the student, and parents, they don't know about their children, and the teachers, they don't know about their student. But when I was there as a drama teacher, I found out their problem. In a teacher's meeting, I was there, and I told their parents, look, this is, your children has a good part, and this is a negative, or might be the negative in the future, so be careful. And I think compared to the 10 parents, 6 parents told me we never heard this kind of suggestion or this kind of things from schools or from teachers or from anybody. So how can you find out this problem or these things? Not only the bad, not only the good, but as a whole, you know, the children's psychology. So they are so excited. This is the main lacking part of our new society, or what you call in our capital, Kathmandu capital cities, children's with the parents, children's with the teachers has a problem.
So you have found that the children have opened up as a result of
this work
that you're doing with them, and just kind of brightened up too, being able to express themselves with adults in a way that they're more comfortable.
Yes, they are more comfortable. And because first, what I said when I was playing with the students, please don't say me, sir. I'm not your teacher. So I react to him, I add to him with the children as a friend. So I break the every traditional rules what they are following. So first time they felt very unusual, like 1 week or 1 month. They are confused what our Mr. Saroj are doing. And when they are getting something from me or my exercise and, you know, some games and some things, and they are open up and they are sharing me this, what they are, their house problems, their friends' problems, their teachers' problems, their own problems. So this is the good part of what I'm doing with the children, and that's why I'm happy with the work with the children.
Now, what inspired you to take this on? Because it sounds like you're breaking a lot of taboos about your culture's way of teaching and interacting with children. So what inspired you to fill this void and create something new and different for children to learn about the theater?
That taboos or that things, before just I mentioned, I got 1 year's acting training from one government organization in 1994-95, right? And then after I joined in a community radio station, which was first a community radio called Radio Sagarmatha. At the time, I was a radio drama producer. So I produced 1 year radio drama. And the station managers, these guys can handle the children because he has a lot of potentiality to handle with the children, and we don't have a children program. Let's try with these guys. And they gave me the children program for the trial basis. And I don't know nothing about the children. Nothing at the, like 25 years ago, almost 23 to 25 years ago, I don't know nothing. I just write the phone number in an advertisement. Not like right now, in 23 to 25 years ago, there is Netflix, no, you know, the board, nothing. So I write the phone numbers with the schools, no internet, very no internet like this time. So, and I call into the student, and there is one person who is a very senior person and who is working with the children literatures. And I meet him, and he grown me up, and he teach me a lot about the children's psychology, children's how to behave with the children, and how to work with the children. And I implement in the radio. Radio is a different form. The theater is a different form. So what I did, the theater form, I put in a radio, and the form was totally break. You know, the first time what I did a program with the children, and everybody was like, no, you cannot do like this. So I break a lot of rules in the radio too, because in our cultures, there is a 3-4 kind of what they call the, like a appreciation or bow system. Like we have a senior, we have to call the Hazur, or then after we call Timi, and Pa is a very low. Pa means is a word. Now, you, in English, you, one word, which word cover the whole, everybody, right? So in our country, there is a, you has a 3 or 4 part, and is a different level of the you. So the lowest level of the you called pa. So the most of the people, still now, they are using the children's called ta. It's very low. So I put the ta and into the tapine. Tapine means very high level obligation, graduation, what you call
okay.
I
yep.
used it now. You got it, right? So I call the children with tapine. So in radio, the sounds very accord to them. And there's a very big meeting with the management, and they ask me, why you call the children tapine? So I call, children are pure. They are pure, they are good-hearted, they don't know nothing, they are pure, they are not corrupted, they are very innocent, they are very good-hearted, they are like a god. If they are like a god, why we are calling them Ta?
Mm.
And those people who are corrupted, who are very, very, very disturbed-minded, corrupted, bad people, negative vibes people, and we call them like Hazur, means very high level, and Tapai means high levels. And why not we call Tapai for the children? The children are like a god. You, in our Hinduism, or in our mythology, or whatever you can say, the god is in the top. So children are in the top in our mythology also. So why not we call? I gave a lot of examples.
Mm.
So they convinced, and I started to call them children to Tapai. So at that time, from that time, first I break the taboos to the children to start call Tapai. Then after I started children radio program, so radio drama. So that radio drama inspired me to why not I can work with the children theater, because at that time there is theater was very limited, not like now. Now also very limited, but at that time very, very, very limited. So I started children theaters called Pumpkin Children Theaters, Pumpkin Theaters. So I pick up the story from the folktale, and that kind of folktale so who gave us moral inspiration for the children, and I pick up the story from their storybooks, their curriculum books, so they are very easy to get the knowledge, they can understand very easily through the drama. So slowly, I am also growing up. Still, I'm growing up. I don't know nothing. I just know very little bit about the children theater. So it's just happening and going, doing, learning, this all, everything.
It's interesting that you should talk about the children's pure and uncorrupted perspective, because when I have theater artists who also train and work with children come on my show to talk about whatever theater program or production that they're working with on the with the children, they often say that the children and youth teach them. Well, they're learning. They're not the experts. They learn things from them. So have you had experiences like that where working with the children give you a new perspective and you've learned something that you hadn't known before?
Thank you. Children kind of speak whatever they like, and they ask the questions. So I don't have any answers. That is the main thing. They are very honest, and they speak and they ask the questions, and I don't know, and even my friends and those who are around me, they don't have any answers. They ask very honest questions we never, ever think on that point of view. We never thought. Their imagination power is very, 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 very high than we like adults. That I got a lot of encouragement, lot of advantage for me, and I learned. Imagination power is awesome. And the point of view of the things, how they can see the object or subject, it's very different than the adults. They are very honest. First thing, they are very honest.
And that's the end of the first half of my interview with Saroj. We're going to hear the second half in just a bit. But first, some more music in celebration of Star Trek Day today. Because today, in 1966, the original Star Trek first aired on television. Here is William Shatner with Common People.
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you've got no money. She just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah? Well, I can't see anyone else smiling in here.
Are you sure?
You want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand. Rent a flat above a shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some flats and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still you'll never get it right. When you're lying in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all here.
You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Because there's nothing
else to do.
Stupid things that you do because you think that poor is cool.
Like a dog lying in a corner, they'll bite you and never warn you. Look out.
They'll tear your insides out. because everybody hates a tourist.
Yes, everybody hates a tourist, especially one who thinks it's all such a lie.
Yeah, and the chip stains grease will come out in the bath.
You will never understand how it feels to live your life with no meaning or control,
and with nowhere left to go. Roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all. Yeah. You'll never live like common people.
You'll never do what common people do.
You'll never fail like common people.
You'll never watch your life slide out of you.
And dance and drink and improve. Because there's nothing else to do.
Is 101.5 The Hawk.
The Hawk.
You're listening to Center Stage, a celebration of musicals from both the stage and screen. I'm your host, Lila Miklosh. If you want to stay up to date with what's happening on the show, you can always join the Center Stage with Lila Miklosh on 101.5 FM The Hawk Facebook fan page, or you can follow me on Twitter at Lila Miklosh, that's at LYLAMIKLOS, or on Instagram at @TheReal_LilaMiklosh, and then you can know what's happening on the show, ticket giveaways, and more. As I promised at the top of the hour, I'm going to share with you my best of the fest from the Shaw Fest for 2019, and here are my top picks for shows. Now, the first show, sadly, that I really enjoyed this year is no longer on stage now. It closed early in the season, but I do want to give it a shout out. The Horse and His Boy. This is one of the books from the Narnia series of books by C.S. Lewis. And this was another delightful children's adaptation that was sweet and kind and lovely, and had all this audience interaction with the kids, where the kids get taught songs and cues and are given props. But it was just fun for the adults too. So, a great show. I have a feeling there could be another Narnia adaptation coming up next season. The next show that was loads of fun is The Lady Killers. This is about a bungling group of thieves who are trying to keep the woman who runs the boarding home that they're staying at from knowing what they're up to. And lots of silly comedy ensues. But the even bigger star of this show is the set, which is absolutely amazing. And there is a chase scene that takes place in about the middle of the show that I don't want to give any spoilers away, but almost worth the price of admission just to sit and experience that. My next best of the fest at the Shaw Fest right now, Cyrano de Bergerac, which has probably the most perfect cast possible for this show. It was such a delightful adaptation. First, Kate Henning just gave it a fresh sheen and took away that sort of poetic prose and made it just more conversational English. Tom Rooney as Cyrano, absolutely perfect. He has you in the palm of his hand from the moment he steps on stage. One of the performances of the festival, if not of the season this year, definitely worth the drive to Niagara-on-the-Lake. Another surprise show is Sex. This is a show that Mae West wrote and originally performed in, and it got censored and she got thrown in jail for. It might seem a little a pedestrian now, but it's a scandalous story about people having affairs and doing drugs and criminals and gangsters and all that sort of stuff. But what a great cast and what amazing design and direction by Peter Hinton Davis. Loads of fun, great ensemble cast with both gender blind casting and racially blind casting. Really entertaining and really creative. It's in the Studio Theater. And last but definitely not least is the stunning, stunning production of The Glass Menagerie. Again, another casting choice where they've done this, a racially blind cast, where we have a black man playing the lead character. We have an indigenous woman. We have an Asian man. And it's just such a beautiful cast with Allegra Fulton, Andre Sills, Julia Corse, and Jonathan Tan, directed by Laszlo Burches. Wow. It'll leave you walloped by the end, and it's just beautiful, deceptively simple, but excellent theater. And if you think you've seen The Glass Menagerie, well, you'll be surprised to find out that you actually have never seen it at all until you've seen this production. So there's some definite worth the drive down to Niagara-on-the-Lake. So currently on stage right now, The Lady Killers, Cyrano de Bergerac, Sex, and The Glass Menagerie. If you want to check them out, go visit ShawFest.com or call their box office at 1-800-511-SHAW. Most of the shows are all back on stage until the end of October. So make sure you go and check it out now. We're going to listen to the second half of my interview with Saroj Arel, a professional Nepali theater actor and director and accomplished radio program producer. This is the second half of our interview recorded just before the long holiday weekend, and I hope you enjoy. You're listening to Center Stage, a celebration of musicals from both the stage and screen. I'm your host, Lila McLoach, here on 101.5 The Hawk. We were talking about children. I just want to make sure we talk about some other things, because you're a pretty amazing person yourself, Saroj. When I was reading your bio that you sent me, I was just like, wow, what an amazing person I'm speaking to on the phone here. And I should let my listeners that you happened to catch something I posted on, I think it was Twitter, on World Theater Day. And that we've been connected ever since, and we've been trying to make this all happen and come together. Yes. So what is it about theater that has you, you know, feeds your passion? Why do you keep coming back to theater arts? What is it about being on stage and making theater that speaks to you, that keeps you coming back and wanting to make more of it?
Everybody has the same question. A lot of people have the same question. It's a childhood passion, same thing like me. I just see myself like I am a fourth grade past pupils, because what I learned till fourth grade, that is the only one education what I get from till now. Because in that time, in my age, I study in a private school, and that time private school was very, very, very rigorous, and I have seven students in fourth grade. But the teacher was very, very fantastic, and they explore a lot from the student. I'm very weak on academic part. In schools, I passed like first divisions in that time. In schools, the first division, fourth grade is nothing, I said. But extracurricular activities, I'm very talented, very, very actively participate in that kind of role, you know. So that dragged me a lot, and I after fourth grade, I had to go to the another schools. On the schools, I didn't get that much opportunity because the school was so big. And like one class has 30 or 40 students, and section was like E, A, B, C, D, E, and 5 grade. And I was lost, so I didn't have nothing to do my extra activities. I called to the teachers, but the teachers was very limited. And I went to the, in our country, the radio station, the government radio station. I went to there for poem reading, what you call in English. They give me one subject, and you have to talk like half an hour or 25 minutes or 15 minutes. And I participated on that kind of subjects. And again, the political situation was disturbed in capitals, and my father calls me to their workplace, and again I went there, and I lost my 1 year, and I joined to the government schools, and the government schools has also nothing to do, and I has that fourth grade activeness still live, and I talked to my principal, I want to do a drama. The teacher says, how can you do drama? We never do drama. And at that time, the drama course is not a drama, it's a kind of humorous jokes kind of things, corrective jokes, small jokes we make like a skit. And I have this, I will direct, and my friend was there, and we will perform. And okay, let's see what happened. And there is one JC's, I forgot, JC's Alliance, I forgot the one organization. I think JC's organized one competition. There's a totally different competition, and our school was participate. And my direction, the drama skit was first, and I got the very big shield at class 7, and my school was so happy, and that also gave me the more encouragement. And my grandma, and I grown up with my grandma, and my grandma helped me a lot, because my mother and my father's is a government workers, and he's not living in the capital, so he has to go in different places or the government ordered them to go. So, but my grandma, she encouraged me a lot about these things. And we do have like a kind of church. We do have a lot of, we call bhajan in Nepali or Hindi, Indian. We call bhajan. And there's a lot of traditional singing, song and dance and cultural program. And I participate on that program. And I danced, and I saw that kind of things culturally, and schools, activities, that kind of motivation comes inside me to dramatize. Because in my family, there is long, nobody in my family has any kind of actors, nobody in a drama section, in art section. All are academic. All our government workers, a lot of people are academics, professors, like lecturers, professors, doctors, and government workers, like this kind of things they are working. I'm the one who are the theater artist. So that I think, I don't know.
That sounds great. The other question I have for you, so here in Canada, yeah. When I'm learning drama or the dramatic arts in school, often that would involve learning Shakespeare plays. You'd probably be performing a Broadway musical that's from the Broadway canon as a group. You're probably going off to the Stratford Festival in Stratford, Ontario to see Shakespeare, or you're going off to the Shaw Festival to see works by Bernard Shaw, or you might be going off to Toronto to see Mirvish staging a Broadway production. And then on a more local level, we have things like the Hamilton Fringe Festival, where local artists and people from all over the world will put on short plays, long plays, musicals, and things that are a bit more experimental. What's the theater scene in Nepal? If I'm average citizen in Nepal and I want to go out for a night of theater, what does that look like in Nepal?
Okay. In the past, there is the influence by Chekhov, a lot of play writers influenced by Chekhov, and one writer we call like a legendary playwright in our Nepali theaters. He was inspired by the Shakespeare, and his writing style seemed like a Shakespearean kind of things, styles. And beside the theme, a lot of people are playwrights are inspired by the theaters. But now, present situation, the political system was also changed, and the political plays are also doing, and experimental plays are also doing. But very few political plays, very few like experimental kind of play are doing here. Most of the plays, the actors are also very few. And most of the play are like a social drama, on the temporary kind of checkups, and I say chicks kind of, they are more of, if compared to the scenario, checkups kind of play are more performance. But in our history, there are lots of culturally, ritually, our dance drama, dance performance style. In every season, we do have a 12 season. We do have a 12 month and 6 seasons. And the 6 seasons has a 6 different kind of harvesting systems, and that harvesting system has a very culturally, because Nepal has a dynamic cultures, and every ethnic group has their different cultures, and their different cultures has different dramatic performative art. So, but the problem is that dramatic, that culturally, that folk, I call the folk play, I am very interested on that kind of play. So that play was not that much popular, or that much perform on the stage. I just designed one play which was very popular in present like 2-3 months ago. That's a folk play. It's a very simple folk play, and I just convert into the Peruvian folk. Typical one, Balan form, they call the Balan form, and we adapted that Balan form, and it's a music, it has a music like a total theater, music, dance, and drama. So our history is like a lot of dramatic cultural movement, but we inspire, we influence by the Western dramatic form. So our one culture folk theater was under the carpet. This is the very unfortunately say sorry. Some of the people, some of the groups are working musically. It is very nice, but in the drama point of view, it is very slowly coming up. Dance is fine, music is fine, but in drama, it's very, very hard to see on the stage. But on the street, you can see a lot of dramatic events in every season, in every month, or every week. You can see on the street, but on the stage, hardly you can find that kind of rituals, that kind of cultural, that kind of folk flavor on the stage.
Any final thoughts that you wanted to share with my listeners about theater, about Nepal, about yourself, before I let you go?
One thing, I'm doing children theaters, and I'm also doing on the transitional justice program after our long 12 years long armed conflict. Now we have a peace and a stable government, but still there is a lot of things we have to do through the lot of ways. So drama is also the one of the main and vital powerful tools to use for the people to know, those who don't have the voice, to raise their voice. So I'm also working for the transitional justice. And September 7th to 2006, I'm going for community, those who are survivors, story. They gave me a story. Those who are survivors from that armed conflict, from the both side, government and the Maoist. And now I am writing their story into the drama, and we perform in the community. We workshop them first, and we perform. Who means they perform? They will perform on the stage, the community stage. Let's see what's happening. We try in Dhanagari, very fast Western region. It was very success, and then after we are doing now, and we hope maybe we get a lot of appreciated after that works now till now. And very soon I hope I'm coming in Canada embassy, give me a visa, so I'll be here in October for one conference. Hope I'll meet you there, and maybe you have a long charge.
Yes.
It's like 1 hour, maybe. Would you have a long, long, long charge? And would you have more discussions? Discussion about our theaters, our lives, everything.
That would be delightful.
So let's hope that everything is happy. The most important thing is happy now, present. If you are happy, then tomorrow is already be happy.
Well, Suraj, thank you so much for this lovely conversation. I'm going to be looking forward to sharing this with my Center Stage listeners. And I wish you much success and happiness in Nepal. And if our paths do cross and you do travel across the world to Canada, I hope we do get to meet in person.
Thank you very much, Leila. It's my great opportunity to talk with you live, and I'm not that much prepared, and I just say whatever comes in my mind, and my English is not that much trained, and my English is poor, so maybe it's very hard to understand to the listeners. Please forgive me that. So have a nice night. Happy night.
Happy night to you too.
Good night.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
And that concludes my interview with Nepal-based theater artist Suraj Arel. And as you heard him say at the end of our pre-recorded interview, he is going to be back in Canada in Winnipeg for a theater festival in October. So hopefully we'll get to have a part two to this conversation that we might actually be able to do live, since we won't have this 8-9 hour time difference between the two of us. Well, as I mentioned earlier, it is Star Trek Day, and it's 53 years since Star Trek first aired on television, and we have been playing music in celebration of Star Trek Day with songs sung by Leonard Nimoy, a.k.a. Spock, and William Shatner, a.k.a. Captain Kirk. Here is a Canadian classic interpreted by Leonard Nimoy. You're listening to 101.5 The Hawk.
Swirls and curls of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air, and feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. There's rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way you feel when every fairy tale comes real. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. You're leaving laughing when you go, and if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love at all. Tears and fears and feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way. But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads, they say I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all.
Hamilton, 101.5, The Hawk.
That, of course, was Leonard Nimoy singing Joni Mitchell's classic Both Sides Now. Here's a rundown of what's happening in and around the Hamilton area on stage for this week. Currently on stage, the Mousetrap Theatre Ancaster presents this classic Agatha Christie mystery September 13th to the 22nd at the Old Fire Hall Arts Center at 334 Wilson Street East in Ancaster. For tickets, you can call 905-304-7469. Renovations for Six Theatre Aquarius kicks off their newest season with a Norm Foster comedy about dinner parties and home renos September 18th through to October 5th at 190 King William Street in Hamilton. You can call 905-522-7529 for tickets. The Last of the Red Hot Lovers. Theatre Burlington presents a Neil Simon comedy about the 1960s sexual revolution September 13th through to the 28th at the Drama Center at 2311 New Street in Burlington. Call 905-639-7700 for tickets. The 2019 Shaw Festival productions this year include The Horse and His Boy, Brigadoon, The Lady Killers, Man and Superman with Don Juan in Hell, Rope, Getting Married, The Russian Plays, Cyrano de Bergerac, The Glass Menagerie, Sex, and Victory. On stage until October 2019 and Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario. Call 1-800-511-7429 for tickets. And the 2019 Stratford Festival. Productions this year include Billy Elliot, Othello, Little Shop of Horrors, The Neverending Story, The Merry Wives of Windsor, Private Lives, The Crucible, The Front Page, Henry VIII, Mother's Daughter, Nathan the Wise, and Birds of a Kind. On stage until November 2019 in Stratford, Ontario. Call 1-800-567-1600. And that's what's happening in and around the Hamilton area on stage for this week. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this show. It is Star Trek Day, and Sonequa Martin-Green, star of Star Trek Discovery, has this to say about the legacy of Star Trek. I believe the best way to honor the Star Trek vision is to continue reaching and stretching for it in our own lives. It takes a monumental amount of personal and collective work to manifest a vision of equality, but I believe that people inherently yearn to see it reflected in their world. Championing this story keeps us reaching, and the more we reach for this unified future, the more we will create it for ourselves. Also, be sure to check out the special event being hosted by Beth Jacobs Synagogue on September 21st. You're going to view the classic Star Trek episode, The Enemy Within, where Captain Kirk is split into two halves, both good and evil. And then there's going to be a discussion with a panel, and I'm on the panel. Really looking forward. It's going to be loads of fun. And all throughout the hour, I've been playing the two most well-known Jewish Star Trek cast members, William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy. Ending off the hour, here is William Shatner with Rocket Man. You're listening to 101.5 The Hawk. Catch me again next week, Sundays from 6 to 7, here on Center Stage.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. On such a timeless flight. Down brings me around again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. No. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse up here alone. I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Brings me around again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. No. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out. saddest views up here alone.